If you would turn with me to Psalm 71, and today is going to be a little bit of a different message in that I'm going to just share with you briefly before the leadership team joins me up on the platform, and we're going to have kind of a panel discussion of sharing with you some of the things the Lord's doing through the team before we wrap things up at the end. And we're going to start with Psalm 71. You know, sometimes when you're around people, they start to say things, and I don't know if you've ever had it where you've started to feel deflated or discouraged. So that's an amen over there. Okay. Anybody ever feel that way, deflated, discouraged? We usually feel that when things aren't quite going the way we would hope that they would go. We're experiencing different failures or hardships. And you feel deflated and you feel discouraged. And when you feel deflated and discouraged, you are demotivated, right? You just don't feel like doing anything. That's what happens when a person gets depressed. One of the two things they almost always do is they retreat and they get away from everybody else and they get away from doing things. And the reason why that happens, well, there's many reasons why that happens, but one of the reasons has to do with words. The things that we're hearing and saying. And if we're surrounded by people that are regularly saying, you know, I don't think you can do that. I don't know if you could pull that off. I don't think that's for you. I don't really think that's going to work out. And these are the things that they're saying. Then all of a sudden, you notice that you start to say those same things. You know, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I'm able to do this. I don't think I'm smart enough. I don't think I'm... And you start saying that. Now, I'm not the type of person who believes that words have absolute, infallible power to make things happen all the time. That's called word faith teaching. I don't believe in that. However, words do have an impact, and this is the way they have an impact. The more we're hearing these things said, the more people are saying these things, and we're saying these things, we start to think about that stuff, right? It starts to get into our head, and we start to think, huh, maybe that's true. Maybe I can't do this. Maybe I don't have the capacity to do that. Maybe this isn't going to work out. And we start to believe it then at some point. And then when we start believing it, then we don't do anything, right? Because we don't think we can do it, and so we don't do anything. This is an old nursery story, I think I can, remember that train story. But if it gets in our head, we think we can't, and we don't do anything. And because we don't do anything, nothing happens. Nothing gets better because we don't do anything. But the reverse is true with positive words. If we start to encourage people and we start to say, you can do this, this is possible, God is with you, I know this is hard and difficult, but you can get through this, this thing can take place, this dream can happen. And then if you start hearing people around you speaking like that, you start speaking like that. Have you ever been in either of those environments? You know, where everybody's down, 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 or everybody's up, up, up. It does something to you. Again, it doesn't have absolute power, but it does something to you when you start speaking. Then you start saying, you know, I think I can do this. I think I'm able to do this. And then you start to do it, right? Because you're more inclined to do it if you think that you can do it. Those words is the reason why we are called, in fact, Revelation in our Wednesday study, we've seen that the saints overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by what? The word of their testimony. And so saying things breathes hope into people's lives. And what we're going to learn from Psalm 71 is how to give that kind of testimony. And the question is what does giving a testimony have to do with pleasing God? That's been the point of our entire series, is how do you please God? And what does testimony have to do with that? Well, John 4:23, Jesus says this, but the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And listen to this. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. What is it that the Lord is looking around for? For people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. What is it that pleases God? Worship. But what does worship entail? It entails a number of things. But have you ever heard it called praise and worship? Right, pray. We're going to praise and worship the Lord. So praise and worship kind of go a little bit with each other. They're kind of synonyms to one another, praise and worship. So what is it? If I'm going to praise and worship God, what is it I'm doing? Well, Psalm 105 verse 2 says this, sing to him, sing praises to him. All right, so I'm praising the Lord, and then what do I do while I'm praising the Lord? Listen to this. tell of all his wondrous works. So the way that I worship and praise the Lord is I tell other people the wonderful things that my God has done for me. I share a testimony to other people. I share about what God is doing. And so if I want to please God, I need to be a worshiper of God. And if I'm going to be a true worshiper of God, I am going to testify. I'm going to share with other people what God is doing. But I don't know about you. Now, Jen did a great job with testimony, but have you ever heard a testimony that was more like a vent session? Like, God is with me, my life is terrible and horrible, but God is with me, everything's falling apart, but praise God, the Lord is with me. Have you ever heard those kind of testimonies? That's actually not the kind of testimony that we're looking for. We're looking for it. Now, the hardships can be incorporated in that, but there are certain buttons that when you share your testimony, you're going to want to hit if you're going to make an impact on the people you're sharing with. Because sometimes you can, again, you can try to share a testimony and then you end up pulling everybody down. And that's not the aim of the testimony. It's not that you can't complain or lean on someone when you're struggling, but too much of that brings the whole ship down, right? And so we need to learn how to push the right buttons. And that's where Psalm 71 comes into play. And we're going to go straight to verse 14. And I'll tell you, the first 13 verses of this psalm is David grappling with his hardships and the things that he's wrestling with, and he's looking for the Lord to support him, to help him, to carry him through what he's going through. And then where he lands after asking for this need to be met is this statement, verse 14. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. Again, the context is things aren't that great, okay? The context is I'm needy. But when I seek the Lord, my response is going to be, but I will hope in you continually. And so when I share with other people, the aim is to instill hope in that person. Hope for their life, hope for their future, hope for their family, hope in the Lord. And so when I talk, this is what I need to look for is, am I instilling hope in the person? That should be my aim, to give them hope. And then, verse 15, and my computer is messing with me again. There we go. All right. I need to just memorize the whole thing so I don't need to look at the computer. Verse 15 says, my mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord, I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. Now, what's interesting here, and we've been seeing this on Wednesday nights as well, he's going to tell other people the great things that God is doing. But ultimately, what will happen in this psalm and in other psalms is the psalm writer is actually carrying out a lot of these actions. But he's saying, I will tell the Lord, I will tell other people what the Lord is doing, but I'm carrying out these actions, but it is the Lord that's doing these actions. And when you share like that, when you share, you know, I prayed and the Lord sustained me, and so I did do the act of praying, but it was the Lord that worked. Or I witnessed to someone and the Lord did a work in their lives, but it was the Lord doing work in their lives, but I was obedient to do the sharing. And sometimes people are reluctant to share how the Lord is using them because they think that it's going to be all about them. But ultimately, what you're trying to do is you're trying to show them that, listen, God used me to do a thing. God can use you to also do a thing. And think about it this way, because have you ever thought you weren't smart enough? You know, or you weren't physically strong enough, you know? You mentioned aging, you know, I guess the older we get, the less physically capable we are. Or you don't have enough money, you don't have enough resources. Have you ever thought that before? If I had enough money, I would really love to help with that thing, right? You don't have enough resources, or you're not charismatic enough, you know, you're not smooth enough, or you don't look, you know, right or whatever. And you think, what do I have to offer? If someone shares the right kind of testimony, what you're revealing to people is, listen, I don't have a lot of smarts, But God still did something in my life and used me. I'm not the best looking person in the world. I don't have a lot of physical strength. I don't have a lot of money. But God used me to do a great thing. And the reason why that's so uplifting is because everybody around us that we minister to and we talk to, many of them don't have any of those things. But there is one thing that is available to every single person. Now, not everybody pursues him. Not everybody is in a right relationship with him. But everybody has the opportunity to repent and turn their lives to the Lord and have the all-powerful Creator God of the universe available to them to do a great thing. And so if God can do it through that person, God could do it through me. And so I need to share that. I need to help people see that, listen, God can use me, he can use you also. And I share in that way. And then verse 17, he says, O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to, here's Jen's part of the story again, even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me. Now, you can decide this morning whether you're in the youth category or the old age category. That's up to you. But either way, he says this, until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. What his aim in the testimony was to tell the next generation, to tell other people of God's power. What is God's power? How did he see God's power? Because of the way God had delivered him, sustained him, helped him through different things. And so I want to tell other people what is the possibilities for these people. And so I need to share, listen, God did this through me, and this is what I see in you. Have you ever had someone say that to you? I see this gift in you. I see this value in you. I see this capability in you. I see God doing this in your life. And it speaks life into them, right? And so that's when I share, that needs to be a part of what I'm sharing, is I see so many possibilities for you. And then I encourage them and I uplift them. Then verse 19 says, your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You have made me see many troubles and calamities. Have you felt that? Okay. You have done that, but will revive me again from the depths of the earth. You will bring me up again. You will increase my, now hear this for a moment, verse 21. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. Now think about that for a moment. You will increase my greatness? The whole focus of the psalm is how glorious God is, how amazing God is. You are wonderful, and you are the only one, God. It all belongs to you, and you are going to make me great. How does that fit into this equation? And again, I think this is part of where we are at times puzzled or confused, and we see this in psalms happen often, where the psalm writer will link God's glory to his success. The psalm writer will say, listen, God, you have to do this because if you do this in my life, you will be glorified. And sometimes we fail to realize that God blessing us, God doing amazing things in our lives, is a testimony to other people that God is faithful. It doesn't have to be about my success. It could be about God bringing accomplishments and achievements in my life and demonstrating to people that that is how powerful God is. But if I'm too afraid to point out the victories, then God doesn't get the glory. Also, what happens when I start to get into this position of, all right, Lord, I want my success to be linked to your glory, then what begins to happen is I start to realize, well, what will bring God glory? And all of a sudden, I will start trying to get myself in alignment with doing the things that will give God glory. And so then my success, my accomplishment is centered around his kingdom more than it is about earthly things. Plus, what did Jesus teach? He taught, blessed are those who, in the Beatitudes, right? And he would list off a bunch of things, and he would say, those people are going to be blessed. He would say, greater your rewards in heaven, right? Because I think sometimes we think that when it's all about God, we forget that God is so loving that it's all about him, but he also wants us to be a part of the party as well, right? He wants us to enjoy glorious things. And I need to tell of those things, share those things to other people. And then lastly, verse 22, I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed, and my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long. And they who have been put to shame and disappointed, who sought to do me hurt. So again, he's praising God. God, you're amazing. God, you're wonderful, and I'm going to win. Did you catch that? God, you are so amazing. I'm going to win. And once again, he's letting his worship time become a pep talk to himself of, this is going to work. I'm going to be victorious. You know that song, I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. But why is that? For the battle belongs to you, Lord. And so we sometimes make it all about God and we don't receive what it is he wants to do with our lives. And so we need to learn to praise him, to speak of his greatness, of his power, of his victory, and then apply that to my life and say, if he's in me, why does Paul say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world? And you are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, right? These kinds of things are the things we need to be sharing with other people. Amen? So those are the buttons you need to hit, and we're going to see if my leadership team can hit these 5 buttons for us as well. So if you guys, my leadership team, will join me up on the platform, and we're going to have a quick panel discussion with you on some of the things that we'd like to tell you are happening within our leadership. Just come on, I get this seat. Only because there's no microphone there. All right, good, good, good. So this is, I'll introduce, if you don't know them, from my left over, and yes, John, thank you. To my left is Donovan. He is on the, and just by the way, this is the strategy team. So there are other people in the church that are a part of our leadership team. For example, Joe leads our worship team, and Molly leads our prayer ministry. But these are the guys who meet with me every Wednesday. We talk about the overall direction of the church and the different things that we're doing, and we work together to coordinate things. And so that's the reason why they're up here, is they're a part of that team. And they put up with me every week for an hour before our discussion group. And I grill them sometimes, right? Every week I'm asking, did you do this? Did you do this? Did you do this? And these are the ones that are striving with me to achieve things. And so again, this is Donovan. He's on the team. He also leads our young adult ministries. He's heavily involved in the children's ministry and the tech ministry. And he's also, if you're members and you got the letter, he's one of our candidates for the board this year. Then Habiba next to him, she leads the children's ministry and the food ministry and the youth ministry and does a number of other things as well as serving on this team, and she's also serving on the board currently. This is Jamie. Now, Jamie is being trained into this team as she's somewhat newer to the church, and she is involved in our social media team as well as helping with the tech team and the food team. And am I missing anything else? She's got a few hats that she's juggling. She's trying to run streaming right now and cook the food for afterwards and participate in this discussion group. So, and then Cindy is next to her. Cindy is also on the board, and she leads our one-to-one team as well as one of our Coons leadership teams. So she'll be taking the Coons team afterwards. And this is John. John is on the board as well, and he also leads our maintenance and facilities. He's the one that's always cleaning stuff up and cutting the grass and all of those things. So would you guys give these guys a hand? Thank you for them. Okay. So I have some questions for them that I'd like them to share with you. And you guys can just, once I ask, you can decide who wants to speak. But without naming names, what changes, unless you have permission already, what changes have you seen in the lives of some of the people that you've been working with?
You mind if I take this one first?
Okay. So without naming any names, I've been working with a lot of, you know, young adult guys recently, and this started last year with one individual, and where that individual was at the time was very low. Something had happened that caused a great change in his life, and he did not have that individual in his life anymore. And so he was at a crossroads where it was either double down with God or go back and fall into the world, you know, and doing the things that we think is right to heal, not what God thinks is right to heal. And from seeing how low this person was, where hope was not in his vocabulary at the time, to now he's reading scripture every day. Amen. He's studying the word. Amen. He is praying without ceasing. Amen. He is, you know, striving to do better for himself to glorify God. Amen. His words, not mine. It just brings me so much joy. And in going through that, in just that one individual, and I had my own hiccups. I was so scared. I was so nervous because, like, here I am helping this individual, you know, walk through life. And I'm trying to walk through life, too. And that's like, I'm trying to lead this individual, and I'm also trying to learn myself, like, the intricacies of conversation and building him up. It's been a beautiful thing to see. And then with other individuals too, it's like we have people that were never, like, they were never consistent, you know, like maybe once or twice a month or every other month, you know, to being here every week almost, you know, and is starting to volunteer even. We have individuals who had a rough time, like, in their house and is now praying without ceasing and taking time to, like, you know, breathe before going back into the environment that they're in order to be calm, cool, and collected. You know, it's just an amazing thing to see, and I love it. Man. I love it.
Amen. Isn't that awesome? And just so you know, each one of these are working with individuals that they're mentoring, and a number of them, for various reasons, aren't able to be consistent on Sundays. And so there's ministry happening, I say that all the time, outside of Sunday morning, where people are being developed in their faith, and you might not be seeing it right now on a Sunday morning, but it's laying the foundation and the groundwork for that in the future. Amen. Thank you so much, Donovan. Any of you guys want to share or add to that?
I think the thing that I've seen the most is desire. When I started working with individuals, coaching them, mentoring them, discipling them, they have all showed a desire for spiritual growth. And that's why I chose these individuals, and I went up to them and I asked them, instead of just, I volunteered just to pray for them, but then I wanted to go take it a step further. And so I started asking if they wanted to be discipled, and they said yes. What I am seeing more than anything is the more they are growing, the more they want to grow. As you feed their soul, they will realize this is good for me. I want more. That's what I see more than anything right now.
Amen. And there's that scripture that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And that's what we want to do. We want to tempt people to experience the work of God, because once you experience the work of God, like John said, you just want more of it. Amen. Okay, Habiba.
The only thing I would add is it's on.
Should be.
Is that the individuals... Yeah. Can I say that they're ladies that I have been working with? One thing I have enjoyed and experienced is that they've become my sisters. I love them so much. And it's like we're no longer just church members. They are solidly, all three of them, my sisters. I reach out to them. I'm like, I miss you. I haven't seen you. And they call me and we share things in life, what's going on. And honestly, it's amazing. You know, I remember there was a time my kids used to tell me, Mom, you need to go get some real friends. Because I had some kind of sketchy friends that were just using me, or, you know, they were not good friends. And they were like, Mom, go get some good friends. And I have to say that They are my sisters and they are not my friends. I really take them personally. What bothers them bothers me, and I know that what bothers me bothers them. So that's been a wonderful experience to have a family here.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. And you reap what you sow, you know, so the more you actually take the action to invest into relationships, the more you start to see that come back to you. So Jamie or Cindy, any on that question? It's okay if not, we have seven more.
Yeah, go ahead.
You sure?
Yeah.
Cindy?
She covered it.
What question?
Okay, we'll find out. All right. Okay, second question. Why is being involved in leadership and ministry fun for you? Jamie, go ahead.
So, as you know, I just joined probably, I think, last July. Is this on? I don't think. Okay.
Yeah.
And I've obviously become very active in the whole church. And if you knew me a year ago, if you knew me, I mean, just in a year, just inviting the Lord into my life, fully inviting him, reading scripture, studying scripture, referring to scripture, I'm hungry for that. That's what I want every single day. It just has turned my life around in ways that I didn't even know. I thought maybe that I was forgotten, that I was too far gone, you know, that I was too worldly. And he doesn't give up on anybody. If you knew me a year ago, you would it's so believable, you know, what the Lord can do in your life when you have Christian fellowship, when you're in ministry, when you're helping your brothers and sisters in Christ. It is just, it gives you so much life, you know, and I'm so grateful for everyone in this church. I just want to love on all of you and just show you what the Lord can do when you're hungry for him like I am. It's just amazing.
Amen.
Amazing.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
If you knew me then, you'd believe me now.
Amen. Amen. Cindy, go ahead.
That was great because that is who you are. That's who you've become.
Yeah.
And you are a light in our church, and we're very glad you're here. We're very glad you're here because you are. She's lively and young.
I'm just so grateful to be able to like help people see the light. You know,
yes.
I mean, I have a lot going on in my life, and it's not perfect, but I get to walk through this life with my brothers and sisters and just be uplifted every day. I stop every day, I stop and think, what would Jesus do? I know it's so cliche, what would Jesus do? But what is he trying to teach me? What is he trying to show me? Mm-hmm. What kind of ministry can I get into? What can I do for my community? When it's nice out, I'm like, oh gosh, I gotta go door to door.
Actually, that's a good segue, which reminds me of a next question, because I've pushed and pushed and pushed these guys to begin their door-to-door ministry in their neighborhoods. And each week, so I have a Google sheet and I have a chart that's tracking each week. Green if they did their things, red if they did not. And for a little while, it was like this red column that kept building. And I finally gave them a speech. I was like, guys, when are we going to get this going? And so I've been kind of mean to them, and I'm glad they're still here with me. But they've started to step up to the plate. And do any of you have something to share about, maybe an interaction you had with a neighbor that was fruitful or optimistic, or just something the Lord's doing in you as you're making that effort?
Okay. I just want to share that 6-8 months ago, I knew three of my neighbors by name, the ones that lived right next to me. That was it. I live on a cul-de-sac, probably 60, 70 houses. Now I probably know 40 people by name. So when they see me out walking my neighborhood, I know them by name, they know me by name. So this was the beginning for me, and this wasn't easy for me. So now what I'm going to do, I don't know if I'm jumping the gun, but with the Easter flyers, to all the ones that I already know by name, I'm going to give them a flyer to come to church for Easter. Whether they come or not is on them, but that's just me extending the relationship or taking it one step further. Just little things that we can do to our, you know, to invite our neighborhood into our church.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else, guys? Donovan?
Tell the story.
Well, I already told you a little bit of the story last.
Yeah. So a couple weeks ago, I tried going door-to-door before our meeting, and it didn't go the way that I had hoped it would go. If anything, it went like the total opposite. If any of you guys know me, like, I am super in my own head about like every little thing that I do. And I'm like praying. I'm like, all right, Lord, this is how I'm going to say it. Hello, my name is Donovan. I'm one of your neighbors. I'm going around just seeing if anybody needs prayer. I was like, I got this, right? How mistaken I was when I approached the first door. I knocked on it. I waited. I was like, oh, I got this. I can hear the footsteps. Never came to the door. So I'm like, all right, cool. Go to the next one. Left a hanger. The person answered, and he looked at me like stranger, like danger, you know? And I'm like, hi, I'm Donovan. I live right over there. I'm Christian. Just everything that I prepped for just went out of my head and replaced it with blah. And I gave him a card and I was like, all right. I didn't get it right this time. I'm gonna try it again. So I go to the next door. I'm like, I got this, Lord. I knock on the door. I hear this dog yapping, like, there's a little tiny dog just yapping, and the lady comes to the door. She's like in a panic, like, hey, I'm on a phone call right now with work. Is this quick? Can I make this quick? I'm like, yeah, Donovan, Christian, here, I just want to give this to you. And then third time's the charm, right? Like, I got this finally, right? Like, those two were flukes. Like, this is going to end. So I hear a door to a car shut, like, outside. So I'm like, oh, I'm just going to get him outside. I go outside and I say, hey, I just wanted to catch you while you're getting out of your car. I have never been so beside myself in embarrassment. Pastor Danny, I'm sorry. Church, I'm sorry. And I felt like a complete and total failure, you know? And I was so ashamed when I came here. I'm, 30 minutes later, we were at church, we were talking. And it was so horrible just to, like, tell that story again. And then...
Now you're telling it.
And I'm telling it a third time because Pastor Danny told it last week. I just want to make sure you guys saw my side of the story. But the encouragement and the uplifting, positive reception to my story, gave me so much courage, and it made me not fear coming and telling like these guys my struggles sometimes with ministry, because everybody goes through those, right? Like, if you're in ministry and you're not like making mistakes, you're not failing, then where's the growth gonna be at, right? So like these times of failure, of growth, it's a sign that it's like, hey, I want you in this. That is God saying, I want you to keep going. I want you to keep pushing past it. And that's what's so fun. And then this past week was so awesome. There is this individual. I went right next door where I had stopped. I knocked on the door and he answered. It was just some guy about, you know, my age, so made me feel a little bit more comfortable. And I told him, like, hey, I'm your neighbor from the 200 building, and, you know, we're going around, you know, trying to, you know, get closer with our neighbors and pray for them, and this is something that our church is doing, and I just wanted to extend this invite to you if, you know, you don't have a church home. And he's like, wow, man, that is really awesome. Like, I just moved out here from, what do you say, New Hampshire. And, you know, I have some friends of mine that are down in like Tennessee that are trying to plant churches right now. And so for you to like bring this to me, like this is really awesome. I'm so happy that you're doing that. And I'm like, dude, thank you so much. Where were you last week? That just goes to show you that God is like a God of humor too, right? He has a sense of humor. And he gives hope. And he gives hope. And that is encouraging. As much as it is terrifying, it is so encouraging and so rewarding.
And that's one of the things that these guys have been experiencing, the people they've been working with have been experiencing. This week I had two different individuals share with me the same kind of concept testimony, that you would think that in studying the Word and praying and attending church would be where most of your growth comes from, but that's not where most of the growth comes from. It's when you start ministering to others, that's when you see your faith and your growth just leap forward. And so I encourage you to participate, get involved in. You don't even have to, if you can't find something that works for you, make something, start something. And I hope that you're hearing this kind of laughter and camaraderie is what's happening every single week for us. And so we're building that structure. And I encourage you, you can do the same thing. You can also build towards being a part of this team. You just have to be available on Wednesdays. And it's based on the more I see you jumping into things and doing things and showing that interest and maturity, that's what leads to that. But you can build your own group. You can do those things as well. And so I just encourage you to do that. You are able. None of us are special. The only thing that we have is that we have the Holy Spirit. And that's what you guys have as well. So one last question before we get ready to wrap up. And one or two of you can answer this. Why do you believe that this church is going to achieve something great for the Lord?
Because we're the team.
Because we're the team. Okay. All right. Good. Yes?
I was thinking, I was in this church for many, many years. And then I took a little walk. And then I came back. And since I came back, and since I've been on the board, and since I started with the one-to-one, I didn't start it. You started with the one-to-one ministry and pushed me along.
Yeah.
I talk to these people who are on my ministry team. They're amazing. It is absolutely amazing who they call, what they do. They take time out to care about other people. And then it helps me to care for them. If they have needs, I can pray for them. We talk about scripture, and it's just growth all around. Yeah. And I need men. I need men for my ministry.
Give us context for that.
Well, you know, it's. I don't know if it's easier for girls to... That's why I kept talking, because I said that the first time. But I don't know if it. Look how Donovan. I mean, he said he messed up, but he knocked on the next door. I was amazed when he said that, and he kept going to the next one.
Yeah.
Because and.
Then I went to the car.
Yeah. But it works. It worked. It all worked around, and then he got blessed by it.
Amen.
And as long as we keep Jesus in the front row, wherever we go, whoever we talk to, we're going to get blessed. Amen. Hopefully those other people are getting blessed, but we're going to get blessed Amen. Also.
And one of the reasons why I believe in this church, to Jamie's point, is because of these individuals and for you guys out there. Because the more I see people care about and support each other and we're in this together, that's what gives us hope. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We give these guys one last hand. Thank you, team, for helping. And we're going to... I have a 45-minute message to conclude with. Just kidding. Just about 5 minutes to conclude with you. Thank you guys so much. Aren't they a great team? They're such a good team. I appreciate their efforts, and the time that they put in is so invaluable, and the example that they set, I really, really appreciate them. And lastly, to explain why your handout is laminated is because we're hoping that you will keep it and put it somewhere where you can look at it, because this is the conclusion of this series on how to please God. And really the heart of it was Jesus's desire when he came into this world: I came to seek and to save that which was lost, right? And Jesus told Peter, he said, I will build my church. That's really what our earthly life is about, right? To do this mission, to build the church. And the way we do that is we have to do a few different things, several things throughout the year to hold on to these. And you have each of those items as well as the key verse that supports each of those items. And I just want to wrap those up this morning, that no matter how many people are in the building, no matter if we lose or gain somebody, no matter if we have or don't have resources, or we go door to door and it turns out great, or we go door to door and it seems to not turn out great, no matter what happens, we have to keep the faith. We have to keep believing that God can do a great thing. We have to believe in God. We have to believe that he is capable of doing great things in this church and in this community. Do you believe that? Are you with us in that? We have to keep believing that throughout the year. We also have to believe in your pastor and in your leadership team that we are capable by the Holy Spirit to lead us forward in this future. You have to believe that you are capable of making a difference. Do you believe that about yourself? You have to believe that you are capable of being a person of impact. And then we have to keep supporting. We have to keep being there for one another. We have to support God, in a sense, by praising him. What does Paul say in Romans 10? How will they hear without someone preaching to them? So we have to declare God's glories. We have to praise him, and we have to support and encourage our leadership team. We don't always know whether or not we're doing a good job. You know how we know we're doing a good job? If someone shows up, if people start doing things, or if you say something. And so if God's doing a work in your life through anybody on the team, tell them. Tell them how you appreciate them. Tell them that you noticed what they were doing. Tell them. Keep supporting them so that we have the motivation to keep going and persevering when things are difficult. Keep supporting yourself. That's one of the great things we see in Psalms. The songwriter would say, why are you downcast within me, O my soul? Hope in God. It's self-talk, but it's self-talk in the context of prayer. And so support yourself. Tell yourself you can do this. And then keep giving. As Habiba said, we can't pay the bills without resources. But not only that, to keep this church to have the capacity that it needs to reach this community, we need finances to take care of that. So keep giving so that God would be glorified because you trust him and you're obeying him. Keep giving because you want to make sure this church has the resources it has need of. Keep giving because you believe that God takes care of a cheerful giver. Amen? And so throughout this year, keep doing that. Keep giving. Keep building. Bring more people in. Ask them. Invite them. Go out into the highways and byways. We try to give you tools and resources. The Easter door hangers are the most recent one. Invite people to come so that, I don't know if you know this, but it's more exciting when there's more people in this room. It's just the way that it is. It breathes life. So bring people in so that we can all experience that life-giving activity. Keep serving. When you notice that something needs done, just step in and help it. If you ever have a complaint that something is not being done, then guess what just happened? You just got recruited for ministry. And so if you see a problem, step in and try to find a way to resolve that problem. That's how we see this happen. Keep serving so that your pastor and your leadership team's load gets a little lighter. You know, that would be wonderful. Keep serving. As Cindy said, she's looking for men, not to date, but men to join the one-to-one team to help, because the one-to-one team only has women on it right now. And so we could use guys to be involved in ministering to other men. Keep cooperating. Get along with each other, right? Keep getting along with each other so that we can make this easier as we move forward. It's better to move forward as a team than to do it in competition with one another. Keep deferring, as I said last week. Keep deferring to the next generation. Keep deferring opportunities to others. Do things and invite other people to do the things with you. Keep deferring so that we keep building this team forward. And lastly, keep sharing. Keep telling the people around you. Karen said to me that she keeps telling everybody how wonderful a church that she has. And that's how we get there, is all of us collectively. No one person is going to do this. It's all of us working together, and we have to believe that we can do this. What does Paul say? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. What does Paul say in Philippians 3? Because as Donovan shared, and we laughed with him at that, that we're not perfect, right? I'm going to fail you sometimes. Other people are going to fail you sometimes. We're not perfect. But you know what Paul says about perfection? He says, not that I've obtained this or that I've already become perfect, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. You know what's behind me? You know, I tried it and it didn't go so well. That's behind me. I succeeded and that was great, but that was then. Now it's time to do more. That's behind me. Whatever, I forget what lies behind me, and what do? I press on toward the goal of the upward prize of God in Christ Jesus. And that's how we win this thing, if we keep going. Amen? If you're with me, will you stand with me? And we're going to conclude in prayer, and I hope that video is ready, Bonnie. We're not going to do our normal altar call. I have a video, a worship, a praise video that I wanted to share with you. You're dismissed once the video starts, so you don't have to stay for the video. But I want you to think about this song, if you know it, as we leave and celebrate our victory. Sometimes you have to celebrate your victory before you have it, right? Amen? And so will you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the work that you're doing in our midst. I thank you for everybody from the strategy team to everybody else that's in the room that is participating in the fellowship of the body of Christ. And we ask, Lord, that you would breathe your life into us, that you would help us throughout 2026, whether we grow in number or not, whether we see a miracle, a healing or not, Lord, help us to keep going, to keep persevering, to keep the faith, to keep serving, to keep going after the mission. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to that, because we know that you took the loaves and fishes and you fed the thousands. We know that you can do many things. So help us in unison to keep that faith so that you can be glorified. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. There's food in the back. Bonnie, if you would, that video. Thank you so much for being here. Let's go celebrating him. Amen.